760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey, but truly, we bring more joy to our lives than you will ever know. Think about you all the time. You. Because you're just so wonderful to me. And I'm speaking of wonderful people, I'm joined by wonderful people in the studio, Dave Savage and Allison DeLuhl.
Good morning.
The most Catholic Catholics in America.
Striving to be. We're striving for that.
We are striving.
Well, if we want to strive right, we'll pray. Allison shared that she has a beautiful prayer for us, so why don't you tee us off?
Amen. Let's start with the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we begin this new week, we open our hearts to your grace and guidance. We thank you for the opportunities ahead and for the strength you provide to face each day. Lord, help us to walk in faith and trust in your plan. May your love lead us in all we do. As your word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4, verse 13. Help us to remember this truth and rely on your power in all circumstances. Bless this week with peace, joy, and grace to follow your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Following his will, that's important, especially during Lent. Is everyone hitting it out of the park this Lent?
I'm trying.
Yeah, what's that snicker for? Dangerous Dave?
Well, Dangerous Dave.
Where it comes, we've had two Fridays in Lent so far.
Yeah.
I'm 0 for 2 now. I had a turkey sandwich each day.
But Dave, but remember beforehand, tell us about this, because it wasn't intentional.
No, it wasn't. But so the first Friday, I went to a sub shop and ordered a turkey sub. I like turkey subs, and I, without even thinking about it, and then I'm on my way back, I'm like, oh, man, it's Friday.
Now, at any point of these two snackaroos, did you realize during the lunch, while you were eating, that it was Lent?
So this past Friday, I worked from home, and I made myself a turkey sandwich without even thinking. Mm-hmm. And as I'm shoving the last bite in my mouth, I'm like, oh.
So if you want to know what Dave has given up for Lent, it's Lent. So
pretty funny. Much.
That was hilarious. But again, it wasn't intentional.
No.
If you said, you know what, I'm going to have this sandwich. I know it's Friday. I really need to be, you know, not having meat. Different story. Mm-hmm. This happens.
Yeah.
And that can happen too. I mean, even like, for instance, we have Mass at the station, and one day a priest, I think it was on the calendar an hour later, but they showed up an hour earlier for Mass. And I had just eaten breakfast, and I'm like, Father, this is kind of a plot twist here. Anyway, he dispensed me. So, I mean, there is truth to truly not knowing and, you know,
absolutely,
missing the mark, right?
Absolutely.
Now, if it's 3 weeks in a row, Dave, we're doing an on-air confession.
I think Dave's got a lot on his mind. We have our pledge drive is coming up starting tomorrow for the next 3 days.
I've got a ton of stuff to get done today for that.
And what the pledge drive is, we are raising money, you know, to further our mission here at The Quest, you know, bring more local programming to you all so we can be out there and transform Atlanta and beyond. So
and this pledge drive is going to be a little different. If you've heard pledge drives in the past here, this one's going to be a little different. And I'm not going to take the time to explain the whole thing here, but we got some great people from your local parish, whatever local parish you go to. We probably have a parishioner or a priest coming in here and talking.
Mm-hmm. Whether they're talking or even volunteering, we have volunteers coming in. They're going to be on the phones. We have people coming in for adoration. Mm-hmm. So this is, you know, community-based. You know, we're all hands on deck from different parishes throughout the metro Atlanta.
So that's tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Starting at 8 o'clock. So Josh and I are blessed to have some amazing folks coming on.
We do have some good people coming on tomorrow. You know, I think, too, like, think about how many things I have just impulsively bought on Amazon, right? And I mean, by the way, I think it should maybe be illegal to have Amazon on your phone, because there's really there's no
it's
buffer.
Too easy.
I mean, there's no buffer between my dumb and my thumb. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm like, I should, you know what? I should join a gym, and then all of a sudden I swipe, I own a Total Gym. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
or, I mean, like, again, if there is a shake weight that has ever come to your door, you've made a mistake, right? And now think about how unintentionally I've made just these quick nothing purchases that definitely add up.
We all have.
Yes.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe some of them pan out more often than not. You know, plenty have not panned out. But, I mean, think about intentionally, I could, in some of those instances, I could have redirected my focus and said, you know, do I really need X, especially during Lent? Maybe that money would be better served, mm-hmm. you know, investing in something that will spread Christ's kingdom here on earth, right?
And there's something that maybe you're listening to right now.
Yeah, yes. Maybe. Yes. That'd be really great. So, you know, just I would say it's a good time to prayerfully discern. We are certainly in the season to discern giving, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we certainly do our best over here to share God's grace with our greater Atlanta community and beyond. So definitely prayerfully consider supporting us this pledge drive. It's going to be awesome.
Starting tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Right. Less than 24 hours.
Less than 24
right
hours
now.
Away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Later in the show, Kathy McCormick, parishioner at St. Thomas Aquinas, is going to be reflecting on today's gospel. Chuck Purser is going to be helping us get acquainted with the sainted. Father Mark White is back, and he's going to be talking about immigration through a Catholic lens. And then coming up next, Matt Allen, parishioner at All Saints in Dunwoody. He's going to be talking to us about St. Joseph and the role St. Joseph has played on his spiritual journey. So a lot of great stuff coming up.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We are here with Matt Allen, parishioner at All Saints Catholic Church. He also leads a wonderful Bible study there, and we are grateful to have you, my friend.
Thank you, Josh.
I would just love to know, what role has St. Joseph played in your spiritual journey?
Well, he is the saint that I asked for intercession from at the end of my evening prayers. And during my prayers in the morning, I always end those prayers with St. Joseph to pray for us. And I think my main devotion to St. Joseph comes just as him as not just the foster father of Jesus, but as a parent. Mm. And as a meditation, it really makes me think about he got all the responsibilities of parenthood without the glory, so to speak, as foster father. So often we can look at blessings in our lives as just the responsibilities and not see the true gift that it is. And I think St. Joseph, for me, always reminds me to see the gift, what a gift it was for him to be the foster father. And I think the title of foster father might often be looked as, you know, second-class father or something like that, where nothing of the sort is true for St. Joseph. And so it's just a reminder to me that all the responsibilities that go with the gifts are part of the blessing, and to not just accept them, but to welcome them.
Yeah, and a father that certainly did not hide from hardships.
Nope.
I mean, long distance traveling, fleeing to Egypt, being a protector for this holy family. I mean, they became in some ways fugitives, right?
Yep.
Because the angel appears to him in a dream and he's got to take Jesus, and they flee to Egypt before Herod's henchmen slaughter all children under two. So really a protector. And I would love to know more just as this strong father figure who was also not afraid to step out of the limelight. I mean, he's really so humble in his depiction in Scripture, right? He's not getting all the praise, the accolades, no recorded words from him, but his character speaks louder than words. How does that character help you in your spiritual walk?
Well, and as you were talking, it was going through my head that that period before the birth for them would have been a time full of anxiety and fear.
Yeah.
Two words that we just talked about, and sometimes that can enter into our own lives. So I think it's important to realize that he dealt with them, but at the same time, he acted, and he acted quickly, with haste, I think is a good way to put it, what we often hear about Mary, you know, that she acted with haste. You know, he got a dream, and he acted with haste, and good thing he did. You know, that was not something that he could delay on, the trip to Egypt, and definitely not something that you would undertake just at the drop of a hat. And yet, this goes for both Joseph and Mary. I've often thought, with haste, how could you do that? And I think there has to be a lot of groundwork laid in the first place And that groundwork is basically, again, I think the best way to put it is what I've often heard about Mary lately, that she didn't just believe in God, she believed God. Mm. So I think the same thing is true for Joseph. He believed God. So when the dream came, it was already fertile ground for the message to be planted. So
yeah.
So that's an important lesson for my life, to work on my daily faith so that I can believe God and trust in God. And that comes with just building the relationship every day. So when you do get those messages to act, even though it may sound like a crazy direction, you can act with haste. So
isn't that such a theme within that Holy Family? The angel of the Lord appears to Mary, and by the end of the dialogue, she's given instructions, and she just says, "I'm the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to thy word."
Yep. And what a blessing then she inherited with responsibilities. Again, the blessings always come with responsibilities, and the size of the blessing, I guess, are commensurate with the responsibilities. Anytime I find myself thinking, I have to do this or I have to do that, and the responsibilities start to seem overwhelming, it's the focus on the beauty part, and then it gets so much easier to deal with the responsibilities side of it. And I have to believe the same is true with St. Joseph, too. What a blessing it is to be the foster father of the Son of God. What a blessing that is. And we know there is a lot of responsibilities. And when I say responsibilities, I mean things that were hard. Leaving everything behind on the drop of a hat and leaving to go to a foreign land where you know nobody or nothing, with a newborn baby and your wife in tow. And I just looked it up before we went on air, from Jerusalem to Egypt, where they could have been in some civilization, it was 711 kilometers. Wow. So not a short walk that they were going to have to go through difficult lands and stuff. So again, not an easy thing to commit to. So again, I think that's impressive. I also like to touch on something else about St. Joseph. Mm-hmm. Joseph. So much is made about he doesn't say a single word in the Bibles, or not a single word is recorded. And I do think there is a message in that also. But we can know things about him. And one thing that struck me when I meditated on it is that prior to his betrothment to Mary, he was all alone in the world. So think about it. The census is called for. You're to go to your hometown. So he's leaving the town he's in, Nazareth, to go to his hometown of Bethlehem. And there's nobody there he knows. There's no place for him to stay. There's no family. There's no family traveling with him back to Bethlehem. And there's nobody in Bethlehem to greet him. There's nobody to put him up, no cousins, no family at all. So he was all alone in the world in Nazareth. And then we can also talk a little bit about Nazareth, and that it was, Philip said, "What good can come from Nazareth?" And so here he is all alone in this town. And then he gets the gift of being betrothed to Mary, and what a gift that was. And also what a heartache it must have been when he found out she was with child. Mm-hmm. And then again, to believe God. When the angel came to him and say, she is conceived the child through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And again, just to believe in God or believe God at that point.
Yeah, we see this receptivity immediately to the workings of God, to God's illumination, to his providence. And like you said, an immediate yes. And also... even though, again, no recorded words, it doesn't seem to me like there was much grumbling or complaining. It was an immediate yes into action. And I think we can learn a lot about that, because like you said, with great gifts come great responsibilities. And how many people are complaining, and how many times have I caught myself complaining about the responsibilities involved in things I was praying desperately for, prayers that have been answered, gifts that have been given from God, things I thought, if I just had this, God, and then you get it, and then a little bit farther down the timeline, you are frustrated because of the responsibilities that can come along with it, forgetting that you are living in an answered prayer.
Right. And again, so you look at your own life and, okay, what does that mean to me? And what would I have done in St. Joseph's shoes? And it's like, well, the first thing would have been exactly what you said, self-pity, oh, poor, pitiful me. I'm all alone. I thought I had this great family, child of two saints in this town of Nazareth that nothing good can come of. And oh, she's with child. And, you know, so you're feeling sorry for yourself. And in that feeling sorry for yourself, you're looking at yourself too much. We see the world like through a one-way mirror and reflects back on ourselves. You know, he was a man, so we don't know if he suffered that earlier in his life. And maybe God let him go through that self-pity stage so he could get to a point where he could say, okay, that gets you nowhere.
Yeah.
It's just internally focused, and that's a dead end.
Mm.
And so, again, I love that about St. Joseph, you know, even though he went through some hard times, and even though, again, and I feel we can know that with fair certainty that he was all alone. Other than before Mary and Jesus, he was all alone in the world, but into that loneliness in a culture that's built around family. I mean, all cousins and everything, brothers, sisters, cousins, they identified you by your lineage, you know,
yeah.
You're the son of. And Joseph was all alone in that world.
Mm.
And so, again, it had to be a heavy weight on him. And into that came the gift of, you know, here's Mary. She's going to be the mother of the Savior. And what a gift that is. I've been preparing you for this, you know, incredible gift.
Yeah. Thank you. You are a gift, Matt Allen. And we are so grateful for you spotlighting the heroic character of St. Joseph and how we can grow in emulation in our spiritual and personal lives. Truly grateful. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Josh.
Later in the show, Chuck Persner is going to be back with us, and he's going to be helping us get acquainted with the sainted, or saint being St. Patrick. Father Mark White is going to be talking about immigration through a Catholic lens. And coming up next, Kathy McCormick, parishioner at St. Thomas Aquinas, will be reflecting on today's gospel.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell. Join Matt Swaim and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160, The Quest. But now, let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:20, and we are so happy to have Kathy McCormick back. She is a parishioner at St. Thomas Aquinas in Alpharetta, and she's going to be reflecting on today's gospel with us. So good morning, Kathy. Welcome back.
Good morning. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, too.
Yes, yeah. happy, Kathy, and you're going to make it a lot happier for us with some of your scriptural insights.
Well, then let's start, because I can't wait to hear myself. All right, today's gospel is from Luke 6, 36 through 38. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and gifts will be given to you, a good measure, packed together, shaken down, and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will be returned, will in return be measured out to you."
Mm-hmm.
Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well. So what jumped out to you guys?
Boy.
Everything. I mean, truly, stop judging and you will not be judged.
Uh-huh.
Stop condemning and you will not be condemned. I mean, everything that we sinful human beings, right, that are striving to be in God's glory, we fall on. We fall from do these things.
It really takes our interior. I mean, so many of our desires, or should I say defects, and gives us this opposite really antithetical lens to look at them through. The world says, you know, if somebody wrongs you, get your justice. But here, right, forgive and you will be forgiven. I mean, there's a contingency plan. I'm thinking, what? It's a big ask here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I would say three things. Call to mercy.
Yeah.
Judgment and forgiveness and generosity and divine reward. So when he's talking about all the gifts that are going to be poured out, they'll be shaken down, overflowing, talking about divine reward. So I actually looked at the catechisms in the Catholic Church about this, because really this scripture talks to corporal and spiritual works of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
So in Catechism 2447, the works of mercy are charitable actions by which we come to the aid of our neighbor in his spiritual and bodily necessities. Instructing, advising, consoling, comforting are spiritual works of mercy, as are forgiving and bearing wrongs patiently. I think that's a big thing, bearing wrongs patiently.
Yes. Oh, yes.
The corporal works of mercy consists especially of feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, clothing the naked, visiting the sick and imprisoned, and burying the dead. Among all these, giving alms to the poor is one of the chief witnesses to fraternal charity, is also a work of justice pleasing to God. I think the spiritual works of mercy are things that we, you know, those are the attitudes we have to take. Mm-hmm. And we have to, you know, recognize that that is something that we need to do. We need to console and comfort,
yeah,
and forgive and bear wrongs patiently.
Yeah.
So the church in her wisdom was able to put that all together very succinctly, I think. And you know, the judging and forgiving, you know, the church teaches that the sacrament of reconciliation is something that we should be, I think, visiting at least monthly.
Yes.
Now, the church says, you know, at least Lenten and Advent. But I say, you know, if we self-evaluate monthly, we're going to have a better chance of kind of staying on the right road, mm-hmm, in my opinion. And Pope Francis often emphasizes that God never tires of forgiving us.
Yeah.
Rather, it is us who tire of asking for forgiveness. And I think a lot of that is we just don't want to face it. And yeah, you can't come out pure unless you're tested by the fire. Part of that is just to recognize your failings.
Yeah.
And step in that so that the Lord can make you clean.
Well, I think it even comes down to pride, right? We need humility to say, you know what, I did mess up. I did something wrong. And actually moving forward, because whenever I go to confession, I feel like I am as light as can be. It is such a gift, you know, no matter what you do, going and being reconciled with the Lord. And ultimately, it's the Lord that reconciles with us, right?
Yep, absolutely. Right. And, you know, I think an important thing, Kathy, is like you're talking about, this sacramental rhythm. It's not just an occasional thing, you know, once or twice a year. But what you're saying is we need to go every day.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Well,
the more, it's like working out.
let's not go crazy.
I'm just joking.
Give yourself a chance. No, but
To your point, we really do need to, I mean, I think monthly is great. And by the way, I think that we can also start to, you know, in 12-step programs, they talk about doing just a mini examine at night, you mm-hmm. know? I mean, we can do before you go to bed and say, hey, you know, and I like to look at the balance sheet in both ways, the positives and the negatives, in the sense, like, if I just look at, well, this is everything I did wrong, like, well, that's kind of depressing. But if it's the reverse, and think, like, God, here's how you showed up and mm-hmm. showed off, and look at some of the great things we accomplished together. Now let's take a pivot over here. Here's some things I could have done better, maybe could have cooperated with your grace better. And I think if I do that regularly, even if it's not this fastidious evaluation, I'll start to see the patterns, and it, you know, that next visit to confession will be all the more smoother, as well as, you know, efficacious.
Yeah. I say this too. The last part of this gospel is about giving. And if we are busy serving our neighbor, then we don't have space to judge them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't have space to harbor unforgiveness. You know, if we are busy giving, then we don't dwell on us. We are looking out, and whenever you're looking out and serving, you don't have time to focus on the negative. You just you find so much joy in serving that the judgment goes away, the unforgiveness, you know, there tends to be more patience as you give. It's amazing what happens when we give. So that's another thing to think about too, is my sister always said that whenever she felt bad mm-hmm. about life, about her life, she would go and work for Habitat for Humanity. She goes, I know I have a roof over my head. There are others who don't. And you get out of yourself and out of the poor me stuff, and you go and recognize the gifts that God's given you and give back.
And that's that line, give and the gifts will be given to you. I mean, that's what you're articulating there. And just very quickly, I'll say, you know, there's the homeless shelter in Atlanta, the Basher Night Shelter with the shrine. And I remember my mom, anyway, I kind of requested this very fancy laptop, and my mother got it for me. And I remember going and serving there, and the next day I said, I can't, like, I need to, I was just way too gluttonous with this laptop. I need to return this, because based on what I saw down there, you know, it really reorients your perspective on what you want versus what you need.
Kathy, we have a couple seconds left. What would be a good takeaway for us to live out this gospel today?
I think, who do you need to forgive? And can you think of someone that is hard to love in your life that needs your charity?
And maybe that's yourself. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe.
Thank you so much, Kathy. We are so grateful. And by the way, where can people learn more of that good old Bible knowledge you've been sharing with us?
Well, I have a Bible study at St. Thomas Aquinas. There's a men's and women's group. I run the women's groups Tuesday nights, 7:30.
Thank you.
All are welcome.
Thanks, Kathy McCormick. It is 8:29. I am Allison DeLuel. From CatholicNewsAgency.com, the Diocese of Arlington hosted its fourth annual From Inclusion to Belonging Conference on March 15th, focusing on supporting individuals with disabilities as they transition to adult life. Bishop Michael Burbidge emphasized the church's role in helping and strengthening everyone. The event featured talks in English and Spanish about resources for children with intellectual, emotional, and physical disabilities. Families and educators shared ideas for inclusion, faith formation, and employment. The diocese also highlighted its special religious development program, which ensures individuals with disabilities can fully participate in religious life and receive sacraments. A satanic attack on a church in Kansas, when a man vandalized St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Wichita, Kansas, Saturday, causing extensive damage, including destroying statues, smashing glass, and burning an American flag, and scrawling a satanic website on a wall. The FBI is investigating the alleged hate crime. For the entire article, you can go to CatholicVote.com. Coming up, Dave's going to be going over his Monday memes. Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, and St. Joseph's in Washington is going to be talking about immigration through a Catholic lens. And coming up next, Chuck Persner will be helping us get acquainted with St. Patrick.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey.
With Josh and Allison. Mondays, get acquainted with the sainted, is sponsored by VerseBright.
Chuck Persner is back with us, and he has another saint of the day. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Chuck.
All right. Well, today, as I'm sure virtually everyone knows, our church and our Irish pubs pause to celebrate the feast day of the legendary bishop and patron saint of Ireland, talking, of course, about St. Patrick, born in Scotland, which I'm not sure everybody knows. People, I think, just assume he was born in Ireland. He had a love for Ireland, as we're going to discuss, but he was born in Scotland to a fairly influential Roman family around the year 387, although in recent years, church historians have come to believe he may have been born closer to the year 415. Patrick was kidnapped, as many of our listeners know, at the age of 16, ultimately sold and enslaved to an Irish chieftain named Milchu, who was a Druidical high priest, but nonetheless a very cruel master.
Wow.
After 6 years of mistreatment, though, Patrick did escape to Britain and would devote his life to God and the church. Deep down in his heart, though, Ireland was where he longed to be. He had this unceasing desire for the Emerald Island, and he wanted to return. That dream did eventually become a reality, and due to his knowledge of the Celtic tongue, coupled with his precise understanding of Druidism, which is something he presumably learned from his former slave owner, you know, who again was a Druid high priest, his impact on Ireland was quite profound. So, you know, here once again, we see Romans 8:28 in full effect, right? You know, all things happen for the glory of God. All things. Even in this case, his time that he was enslaved, he did at least understand and come to learn and grasp fully the idea of Druidism, and it helped him in his ministry and in all his evangelical exploits. He went on to perform countless miracles while in Ireland. Although contrary to popular folklore, none of these miracles really entailed driving out snakes. Hmm. Yeah, it makes for a good story. Hmm. But there is no proof of that. It's just part of his legend at this point. He was a man of deep prayer and fortitude. And his use of the three-leaved shamrock to explain the concept of the Holy Trinity,
yes,
the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to the pagan Irish during the 5th century, it remains prevalent in modern-day catechesis. It's used. It's not a perfect example, but it's a pretty good example of how the Trinity may be. And we know that the teaching of the Trinity is a complicated teaching, right? If you've ever been part of an OCIA team, it's not an easy thing to understand. So, you know, we take it on faith at first, and then gradual divine revelation through prayer. You know, we could just say, God, I don't understand this. Help me understand this better. But St. Patrick knew that the importance of using this very visible analogy was useful as well. And it has been over the years, you know, and we know there are many ways to teach. You know, Jesus used parables. In this case, St. Patrick used this. He used the vegetation that was so prevalent in Ireland. St. Patrick desired to bring freedom to others. You know, I think he's known for that. This despite the fact that he was enslaved during the early years of his life. Probably, I say despite the fact, it's probably because of that. He didn't want anyone else to have to deal with that fate. And he did this for the land that he did grow to love, even though he himself, as I said, was not Irish. You know, March 17th is popularly known as his feast day, St. Patrick's Day. It's one of those days that's obviously creeped heavily into our secular culture, and it's believed to be his death date. And the day became a feast day in the Catholic Church. I found this interesting. Due to the influence of the Waterford-born Franciscan scholar Luke Wadding as a member of the Commission for the Reform of the Breviary in the early part of the 17th century. Mm. So he promulgated devotion to this, and he had much success, because here we are today.
Yes, yes, here we are.
Yeah, and it's incredible to see how many people he actually converted. I think it says thousands that he converted, including many chieftains and druids. And in fact, he used the shamrock to teach the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. Mm-hmm. Talk about being creative, you know, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. I think as we see in these times, these guys are really underdogs. The odds are not in their favor, but guess what? When God is, his plans will prevail.
Yeah, this isn't, you know, to once again borrow the OCIA analogy, these aren't people who just need to be confirmed or to have their first confession. They're starting from the beginning.
Yes.
You're starting with pagans who know nothing of the faith. So where do you begin, you know? And to move on to a topic as complex as the Trinity.
Yeah.
I mean, priests will tell you, they'll spend an entire semester in the seminary studying the Holy Trinity. It's that deep. It's that rich.
And I like how you said, Chuck, in prayer. I mean, because we need to, like, truly ask for the Lord's guidance in helping us understand that. Because sometimes, yeah, it's the human mind, it's hard to even comprehend.
Yeah.
But with God's intervention,
it goes to the heart. Boss, right?
Amen.
And,
yes.
And here's a quote that we all have heard before, I assume. Christ beside me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ beneath me, and Christ above me. That is a quote from St. Patrick.
Yes.
So he is everywhere.
And, you know, Father John Ricardo, who you can hear every day here at the Quest at noon, you can have lunch with him, as Josh likes to say. Mm-hmm. He had said in the past, he begins every morning with that prayer.
Ah, nice.
A powerful prayer. I don't know how many of our listeners are aware of it. You can find it very easily online. Mm-hmm. That is not in my repertoire, I have to admit, and it probably should be. You know, Patrick is my confirmation saint.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So
here's another amazing quote. The Lord is greater than all. I have said enough. Quote from St. Patrick.
All right.
That's it.
Gets right to the point.
Here's one quote. Pass the Guinness. That's not him.
I think that's a tribute to my buddy, Patrick McElhinney. He said that, I think. But maybe not St. Patrick.
Is that buddy?
Now, isn't there some legend about him climbing a mountain or something, Chuck?
I'm not aware of that one. Is there? Let me hear it.
So this mountain story refers to the time St. Patrick's time on Croagh Patrick, a mountain in Ireland, where it said he is said to have fasted and prayed for 40 days. So, yeah, the peak of this mountain is I think it's 2,500 feet. And according to tradition, St. Patrick climbed the mountain and spent 40 days and nights fasting and praying, similar to Christ's time in the desert. And while on the mountain, he fought against temptation, and it says, you know, even demonic forces that represented pagan influences in the world. This 40-day fast symbolized, you know, spiritual purification, power of prayer against evil. Again, you feel free to fact check me. I do not know if it's more legend than fact, but definitely he is, at the very least, spotlights the heroic, you know, light that they have put him in through all his accomplishments.
Oh, yeah. Well, we know the saints oftentimes escape to the mountains, to solitude.
Mm-hmm.
It could very well be true. How's your Irish brogue? Do you ever work it into your act?
Irish brogue. That's probably more Scottish, I think. I don't know if I can do
that. What's a good one, yeah. It's a good one, lad.
St. Patrick is the patron saint of engineers, Ireland, and Nigeria.
So St. Patrick is clearly the most famous in Ireland. However, his patronage being the patron saint of Nigeria is due to the historical influence of Irish missionaries in the country. So in the 19th and 20th centuries, Catholic missionaries, particularly from the Society of African Missions in the Holy Ghost Fathers, played a major role in evangelizing Nigeria.
Wow.
They built schools, hospitals, seminaries, deeply embedded Catholicism in Nigerian society, and many of these missionaries held St. Patrick in high regard. Yeah. So pretty cool. And also, interesting, it must have paid off because Nigeria is one of the most Catholic countries in Africa with millions.
Excellent. That's so good to hear, isn't it? And yes. Again, here we see the saints of our early church still bearing fruit today because mm-hmm. it was those missionaries who were inspired by St. Patrick who took the word to them. And now, as you said, Josh, it's just a burgeoning Christian population in Nigeria. I would venture to say Christianity is probably growing in Africa greater than it is anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is. There's a 250 million Catholics there.
Yeah, maybe our next pope will be African.
Maybe.
Makes sense, wouldn't it? St. Patrick.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And at 8:42, Sometimes Dave.
And this is one of my favorite parts of our show, especially on Monday.
Monday memes.
Can't wait to see what you got.
Just random things off the internet, off the social media pages. Some funny, some not, some thought-provoking. Like this one. Whoever said out of sight, out of mind, never had a spider disappear in the bedroom.
Oh.
Because it's not out of mind.
True, depending on the size of that spider,
If it's
a daddy long legs, not the end of the world. But other ones, ooh.
I heard daddy long legs are the most poisonous spiders, but they can't. Their teeth aren't big enough.
Right.
Maybe I wonder that's if that's urban true. Legend. I don't know.
I've heard some kooky things that you fact-check, and you're like, no, that was just...
If you find it on the internet, it has to be true.
If you find it on Monday memes, it's got to be real.
Exactly, like this one. You want to know how many push-ups I can do? Well, if they're the orange flavor, I know I can do at least 7 of them in one sitting.
When you were in school years ago, do you remember getting those, and they had little polka dots on them, those
wait,
push-ups?
Wait, those push-up pops?
Yes.
Yeah, you push them up.
Like they're frozen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Those are so bad for you. I remember
and
that.
They're so good.
They were like the creamsicle, you mean? Like the orange creamsicle?
Yeah, but I wonder if they were better. But you know what? Truly, I'm thinking when I was in elementary school, I'm almost 50 now. So I bet they were probably a little bit healthier then than maybe now. I think everything is different. Oh,
but you know, I mean, that's kind of like this. I had a student I taught stand-up comedy. He had this bit, and at the end of it, he talked about like these cereals and how you'd see like Sugar Puffs or whatever. I'm not going to say the brand so I don't throw them under the bus. You can just imagine anything you'd see at the, and they always say part of a balanced breakfast. Wait, what?
Yeah, we'll balance out all that fruit and everything
exactly.
You're eating.
Just in case it was too healthy, let's balance it in the other direction.
I don't want to talk about cereals. A lot of them come to mind from my childhood.
Now, this one, Allison, I think you'll be able to relate to. The hardest part of being a parent is watching your child go through something really tough and not being able to fix it for them.
Oh, I'm going through it right now.
Yeah.
Amen.
Aren't we all?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yes, and I know it's never going to end.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's how encouraging.
No, but it's the greatest gift in the world to be a mom, so praise God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're talking about your parent. Yeah, your kids. They're angels. They're good kids.
Oh, they are. No, but when things
happen.
They are
great kids. I love them. They're wonderful.
But things do happen out of your control.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, Lord, give me the patience. Give me the peace to know how to take this and be an adult.
That's why it's a new day. You got a new hairstyle.
Amen.
Looks cool.
It's straight today. Woo-hoo.
Dave's got a new... Okay, never mind. Go. Beard style.
This one has to do with daylight saving. That hour we lost was the one I was going to use to get my life back together.
Oh, I like that. That's a... Gosh, I'm bummed that these are... You know, you hear some of these, you're like, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be a king if I wrote that. Okay.
Today I'm wearing pink to raise awareness for people like me who forget to separate their red laundry from their whites.
It's funny, man.
Oh, my goodness.
And one more. Yeah, there's a strange new trend at the office. People are putting names on food in the company fridge. Today I had a tuna sandwich named Linda.
After the break, Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, and St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia, is going to be talking about immigration through a Catholic lens.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Coming up at 1 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest. Join me for The Doctor Is In. But now, it's back to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:47.
Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, as well as St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia, he is going to be talking to us about immigration. So welcome back, Father.
Yeah, good to be here.
Father, this is a really timely topic to unpack, and I'm just so grateful you can shed some light on this, because you see people that are very polarized on both sides of this issue. So how are we as Catholics supposed to understand this issue?
Yeah, the issue of immigration is a difficult issue, and I think it's something that has created a lot of division and confusion, particularly even in the Catholic Church, but also outside Christian circles, all Christians, not just Catholic Christians. You know, you've seen this confusion recently with the change in administrations and the change of the way we look at immigration. And I think I've seen two extremes, Josh and Allison, that are really going to help us to understand the way we shouldn't think. One extreme would be this idea that the only really compassionate, truly Christian way to understand this is a kind of extreme that you saw in the previous administration, which is just saying, well, we should just open up the borders and have sanctuary cities. And people should just kind of come over as they please. We might say that we have some sort of regulated process, but when you go down to the border and you see it, you realize that that's not the case. And whatever political group you're in, that was really clear. And I think everybody saw that. And the idea is you hear is this, oh, well, this is what it means to be compassionate and kind to the immigrant, is to have zero law and order on the border and to regulate it in no way. And the problem with that is we don't believe that as Christian Catholics, and Christians don't have to. God is clearly a God of order. You can't read scripture and not see this side of who our Lord is. He gives us the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. He wants a society that is guided by law and order. There's nothing wrong with borders or locks on your house or fences. You know, even the Vatican, for example, has very strict laws that they just added to keep people from coming into certain parts of Vatican City. They actually increased the laws just recently. So, you know, you're not going to see tent cities, as I've said before, in the Vatican area, you know, so there's got to be regulation. But then that extreme, so when we saw it kind of acted out in the last several years, it's just not a healthy extreme. It doesn't make any sense. And a lot of people died because of the process of immigration. There's also all kinds of sex slave trafficking, drugs are being brought in, and all kinds of negative things that really negatively affect the dignity, not just of people that live here, the citizens, but particularly the people that get caught up in the trafficking and the smuggling of immigrants into this country. Mm. So that's one extreme. And that extreme is just it's very unhealthy and it's just inaccurate. Then there's the other extreme. And the other extreme is, you know, the one that we hear, you know, maybe a little bit more now. I don't want to try to characterize either administration as only extreme, but they certainly kind of you see it as people will kind of have this. I use this image, Josh, that you probably might find funny being a comedian, of a guy that's on his, you know, he's outside, he's got his shotgun, he's got a piece of land, several acres, and he's like, you know, someone's coming up to his house, he's like, get off my land, you know. It's kind of this mindset of that it's mine. And the problem with that from a Christian perspective, we always want to talk about Christian principles here, is that it's really not our land in the ultimate sense. Yes, proximately, we have property rights, we own land, we own houses, nothing wrong with that. But ultimately, everything is God's. So the land is God's, and he's really generous. You know, so we have to keep that in mind when we're talking about people coming here for asylum and coming to get away from really difficult situations. And the country's kind of always tried to be open to immigrants in that sense. Another thing we need to realize is that we ourselves have particular commands that come from us that really the Jewish people first received about being kind to the immigrant or the alien. You see this with God's commands and God's words to his Old Testament people, Israel. He says, he gives a reason. He says, you need to be kind to the alien and immigrant because you yourselves were an alien. And it was if he's saying, and I showed compassion to you. So how can you not show compassion to these people that are often fleeing from violence or difficulties or challenges? It was also an opportunity when you were not a part of the Jewish people that you could assimilate into that people, and you could become, you know, in effect, a part of their people, even though you weren't ethnically. And that was in the Old Testament. So we should realize that a lot of the folks that are coming here, particularly from the southern border, are already Catholic. You know, so they can come in, and if they're coming for the right reasons, we need to be compassionate and merciful. We can't look at the land as just ultimately our land in every sense. That is God's land, and God wants us to be generous and compassionate within a legal process to offer asylum, particularly to people that are coming for refugees and are fleeing abject poverty or violence. You know, and even people that just want to come here, that want to work here and want to be a part of our country. So if you have those principles are really helpful. Another principle we need to realize is our true home is heaven. You know, St. Paul says our citizenship is in heaven. And another verse I was reading here in the very beginning of 1 Peter, Peter says, an apostle of Jesus Christ, he's addressing himself to the chosen sojourners in the dispersion. And he lists off the area right around the burgeoning the new church that is growing up. He calls them sojourners. We're called pilgrims, you know, as we focus on this Jubilee year, pilgrims of hope. We're not in our true home. You know, I love being an American and proud to be an American. It is my true home as far as being a citizen in this life of this country. We should be proud of it. We should support our country and everything. But my true home is heaven, you know, and we're not in heaven. So we ourselves are like aliens or sojourners. We ourselves are not in our true home. So how much more should we be sympathetic to those that are trying to seek a better opportunity in life? So I think if you take those two principles, then you're going to be approximating how we should think as Christians, as Catholics and Christians in it, with this issue, and you can have a better focus on it and avoid the divisions of, so, you know, everybody needs to get out, or the other one is we just open up all the doors.
So, yeah, Father, so then how should Catholics think in light of these principles?
I would hope that whatever we come up with, if we have the opportunity as a country to come up with a comprehensive approach that is a new system of immigration, that it can involve two strengths. One is a very strict, regulated, law-abiding process where we have every right to remove a terrorist or a criminal, and we know who these people are that are coming in. There's nothing wrong with that. All countries should do that. There's nothing wrong with doing it. And that we can immediately remove them. And we can know all the ones that are currently here and have them removed. And so very strict and very, very regulated, a border that is completely secure. At the same time, we could hope that a lot of the people that came here for good reasons, you know, whether it just be for better opportunities, certainly asylum, fleeing some sort of violence or fleeing abject poverty, that we can give them an opportunity to stay if they're willing to assimilate and to be a part of our society and culture. That's why it's a complex issue. You have to vet each person. You know, there's not one particularly right way of doing it. But I think that principle could give us an approach. And I think it's possible. You know, I mean, we're right now in the process of removing a lot of people that everybody agrees shouldn't be here. But hopefully we can get to a place where we look at the folks that are here for good reasons and say, is there some sort of charitable, merciful, compassionate approach that we can offer them? But there's got to be requirements, you know, that requirement to assimilate, to abide by the laws, to work, to be a part of our society, not just here to, you know, do what you want, but to try to be a part of the country and fight for the betterment of the society.
Thank you so much, Father Mark White.
Thank you. Good to be here, guys.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
You're listening to
The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. with Josh and Allison.
And sometimes, Dave.
Every now and then.
Well, are you guys buckled up for the next 2 days?
Three days.
Yeah. The Holy Trinity of
Amen.
Pledge Drives. We've got, by the way, we're going to have some action-packed guests. I mean, this isn't just a great thing to listen to support this station, which, again, we are certainly doing our part to try to bring the joys and riches of the Catholic faith to the greater Atlanta area and the 5 million people that are in our broadcasting range. Mm-hmm. We have some rock stars of the faith that are coming in here. Am I correct?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Some priests and some lay people that are there's going to be some very fascinating stories you're going to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were just talking a minute ago, the reason why we need to do this. I mean, this is a free service. And think about, like, if you had a subscribe to Netflix or Hulu or one of those.
Yeah.
That's a monthly subscription. Think of this as that. I mean, you know, could you afford $10 a month, $20 a month?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be awesome if it, look at it as it's a subscription to something.
Yeah, and if you just feel compelled to donate one time too, that's awesome as well. Or just share and send us your prayers, but definitely, you know, to broadcast and to have this amazing tower that can share this good news with other people, it's not free.
50,000 watts, and I think, don't quote me on this, but I think it's something like $36,000 a year just for the electricity for our transmitter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, our goal is 200,000 over the next 3 days, so please be a part if you can to help us get to that level, you know?
Absolutely. Tomorrow for the next 3 days.
Well, the best way to kickstart any holy initiative is through prayer. So, let's say in the name of the Father, glory be to the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.